Our study tonight is out of Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And harmonic passages are Matthew 4, 18 and 22, Mark 1, 16 to 20. Christ's sovereign divine call of the fishermen. Salvation occurs when one believes in Jesus Christ as his personal savior from sin and eternal damnation. However, a believer needs to be discipled in the Lord and to come to serve him. Those actions require increasing levels of maturity in one's experiential walk with the Lord. Matthew 4, 18 to 22, Mark 1, 16 to 20, and Luke 5, 1 to 11 record Christ's sovereign divine call of Peter, Andrew, James, and John into discipleship and service after their initial expression of faith in Jesus as the Messiah. John and Andrew trusted in Christ back in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 40. Peter did so in John 1, 41 and 42. James may have already been a believer, or he may have trusted in Christ and heeded the call to serve him at the same time as Christ's call to Peter, Andrew, and John to serve him. We're not sure. It's interesting. My father went forward in a Baptist church in Paradise, California, many years ago to accept Christ as his Savior and to be a missionary to Africa. There was a missionary from Africa who was speaking, and he challenged people to believe in Christ as their Savior and to become missionaries. And so Dad says, I'll do both. So he walked forward, and he never veered from that. He was convinced that the Lord had led him to do that. So that may have been the case in James. Anyway, we view the event for our insight and our application. What I'm going to do is read Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Luke 5, 1 to 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret, that's another name for Galilee, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. They actually had been beached on the lake, on the shoreline. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, that's Peter, and requested him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or a catch. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. He would have been falling on squirming fishes, saying, Lord, depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes that they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, stop being afraid. From henceforth you will catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. While Jesus was teaching the people by the Sea of Galilee in the area of Capernaum, the people were so impressed with his words that they were crowding around him. It was hard for him to get some air to speak, and a crowd can get so active they can actually, crush you if you're not careful. Nearby were two fishing boats that had been brought to shore, and the fishermen had left them to wash their nets. So Jesus entered into the boat that belonged to Peter and asked him to thrust it out a little way from the shore that he might teach the people from there, putting room between himself and the crowd. Actually, this is a very good idea because everybody knows that water is a tremendous sounding board. You've probably heard of the Hollywood Bowl. And there are many times when we would go water skiing up in Shasta Lake in California, someone would be out there in the water 100 yards from shore, and he was talking and he was giving orders to the boat driver. You could hear every single word you could say. It was all the way across the water because it reflects. So Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew the character of water. That way he could put a distance between them, but he could actually make eye contact and communicate to people much more effectively. Well, Peter complied with Jesus' request since he had already believed in him. And Jesus sat down on the bench in the boat and proceeded to teach the people. Christ wanted to get Peter and the other disciples there who had already trusted in him to follow him into a higher level of discipleship that involves service. To do so, he revealed his divine authority and provision to equip them to succeed in ministry by performing a fishing miracle along with their own efforts. It's very interesting. Jesus could have said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. But he wanted them to get a taste of what that would be like. So that's why he wanted them to let the nets down. He wanted them to do the catching. But with him empowering that, whoa, they were going to catch a drought. So this is why the Lord is seeking to motivate these men. He can really make them effective. And that's what the Lord wanted to convey. So after he had finished speaking to the crowd, Jesus told Peter to launch his boat out into the deep and let down his nets for a catch. Well, such an effort seemed futile to an experienced fisherman like Peter. Fishing was normally done at night when the fish rose from the depths to feed at the surface. And when the sun rose, the fish descended into the depths of the lake again. Those in the fishing trade knew it was useless to attempt fish in the daylight hours. I know this very well. I fished with a fellow when I first came to Nepaug Church. He took me out to one of the lakes in the area here. We went at night, so we stayed up during the night to fish. And it was true that the fish would rise at that particular time, and we caught some fish. I actually caught a landlocked salmon, West Hill Lake. It's interesting. But when the daylight would come, you know, the fish would go away. The only time the fish would come up to the surface is if it rained, because when it rained, the night crawlers would come out, and they would fall from the edge of the lake down to the lake. So if you wanted to catch fish, you'd put your boat out and you throw your cast your line towards the shore with a worm on it, and then you were going to get a bite. So it's quite a task. But in the daylight, after the sun had risen, if you hadn't caught any fish all night, you know, forget about it. Besides Peter and his brother Andrew, we know that from Mark 1:16 that Andrew was working with Peter. They labored throughout the previous night and caught nothing. So fishing then next morning out in deep water seemed to be a useless act to them. Nevertheless, due to his faith in Christ, and though explaining that the effort seemed futile in view of the lack of a catch of the previous night, Peter said he would obey Christ's word and let down the net. When Peter and Andrew had let down their nets, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and these would be James and John. They came and filled both the boats so that both of the boats began to sink. And we have found there was a boat, I think a year ago, that they discovered in the Sea of Galilee that had been sunk years ago. These boats, this is why they could fit 12 men in them. Sometimes they were 15 or almost 20 feet long, and they had several seats there that you could seat, and there was a rowing cushion at the back. And that's where Jesus went to sleep in the boat one time. He was on the rowing cushion, and he was sound asleep. But these are fairly large boats, so you can imagine two of these boats, and these boats have been, you know, up to 20 feet long, and they were both filled with fish and beginning to sink. That's a lot of fish. Well, Peter then fell at Jesus' knees. And, of course, Jesus is sitting in the boat. The bottom of the boat is filled with all sorts of wiggling feet. So Peter's falling down at a bunch of wiggling fish, but he's not paying attention to the fish. He's paying attention to the fact that there's been a miracle. And he said to the Lord, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Peter's action revealed his astonishment at the huge catch. And James and John, Peter's partners in the fishing business, were also astonished along with Peter and his brother Andrew. Well, having made the point that he could equip Peter and his partners to achieve far more than they could on their own if Jesus was involved, Jesus told Peter, "Stop being afraid." And this is stop being afraid for your own benefit. This is in the present tense. It's in the middle voice, and it's an imperative. With the main negative particle, which means stop an activity that is already in progress and do it for your own benefit. In other words, Peter, don't be afraid for your own benefit. This is designed to do just the opposite. It's supposed to encourage you. You're going to be catching men from now on. You're going to be catching men like you just caught these fish. So this is designed to motivate Peter and Andrew right through the roof. And boy, did it. So after this display of Christ's power to equip them to succeed in fishing for men like they had succeeded in catching fish, these men immediately left their fishing trade and followed Jesus. They left the nets there, the fish, I don't know, probably the other people had to take care of the fish. The nets, the fishing boats, Zebedee was left with his own boat. He was fishing with his sons, James and John. But they left their fishing trade and they followed the Lord Jesus. The only other time they went back to the fishing trade is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The disciples were supposed to meet the Lord back in Galilee. And so they started fishing. Peter says, I'm going fishing. So he started going fishing. And that's when the Lord had the first men's breakfast in church history. He built the charcoal fire on the side. But until then, Peter hadn't gone fishing. So when the men had brought their boats to land, they left the fishing trade and they followed Jesus. These men were Peter, they were James, they were John, and they were Andrew. Every single one of whom Jesus personally called, we know from Matthew chapter 4, 18 to 20, he did call these men. That's not included in Luke's gospel, but we get it from Matthew's gospel and we get it from Mark. And these men followed the Lord. This was an earth-shattering event for them. And it's interesting, these men were experienced fishermen. They had fished on the Sea of Galilee. They knew what fishing was like, but they'd never seen a catch like this. And a catch after catching nothing all day long, all night long, and then going out into the deep water and letting their nets down, the nets breaking, the boats beginning to sink, so full of fish. It's just an amazing event, and it deeply impressed these men. And if the Lord told them, you're going to catch men like you caught fish, hey, we'll change our occupation. You better believe it. So the lesson is, upon revealing by means of a great miracle how very effective Peter and James and John and Andrew could be, if they obeyed the Lord's call to disciple others, Jesus called these men to the service of discipling, and they obeyed. So if God reveals that he can, and he will, make us effective, coupled with a call to service, we need to obey him. That's really, really important to do. I have a song here. And this song was written by a lady by the name of Charlotte Elliott. You know this song well. She wrote this song when she was discouraged. She wanted to serve the Lord, but because of health reasons, she was limited from doing that. And her friends, the other people, the young people in the church were either going to be missionaries or were going out somewhere, but she felt utterly useless. In this mentality of uselessness, she went back and she wrote a poem as to what she had going for her. And this is what she wrote. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Now, she wasn't designing this to be an evangelistic call at all. She was just talking about her relationship with the Lord. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within and without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I read somewhere that this song has been used to usher more people into the kingdom of God than any other song that's been written in English. I don't know if there have been other songs that have been written in German or French or whatnot. But this was written by a woman who was about ready to give up on herself because she thought that she was useless. But in that sense of feeling useless, the Lord took this poem that she read and converted it. William Bradbury converted it into the music, and it's been a very, very powerful song. And the words are just absolutely right on target theologically. So, God can do abundantly above all that we ask or think. And remember Charlotte Elliott. So if you're ever feeling useless or you're feeling that your life is not going to go anywhere, remember this lady and remember Peter and these men. God can take who and what we are and use us beyond what our capacity is to fathom. So may we trust the Lord. If he does call us, and if he does indicate that he can use us, heed the call, because you certainly will not regret it.